The second scripture reading today is from 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 8. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our God, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Deb. Well, last week we had just gotten done with 1 John. I thought, what do I do next? Well, hey, it's Mother's Day. So why not share on Mother's Day Sunday a Mother's Day message? You know, I titled the message, Mother's Love Never Dies. And I think as I look at my mother's influence in my life, that's really what I mean by it. My mom has gone home to glory several years ago, but much of what I learned in my faith came from my mother, and it lives on, and I hope continues to live on in my children and their children as well. But I just wanted to take note this morning of a couple of these texts that deal with good mothers. You know, when I speak about mothers or fathers, none of us are perfect. You know, I look back at my mom and I saw very few flaws in mom. There wasn't much I could, but you know, I know my mom wasn't perfect. I know she had her down days and didn't always come out smelling like roses when something might happen, but those were very far and few between. But I wanted to talk about mothers today. You know, moms knew the children 9 months before everyone else did. You talk about mothers who have that baby in their womb and all the conversations that take place between mom and this child that's going to be born in just a few months. And you realize moms have a head start on everybody else. They have a distinct advantage. Literally. At least in the case of biological mothers, there is a connection before birth. They chose to give birth just like God chose to give us life in Jeremiah 1:5. He knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Should be noted then that God knows us even more than mothers know us. God knew us even before those 9 months that happened before birth. God knew us. And godly mothers recognize that. See, moms know the joy, they know the pain, they know the burden. I will say the voice of a mother is never forgotten. And you notice a lot of times when you try to take a baby from a mother, a lot of times the baby doesn't want to be separated from that mother. It's hard to separate the two. Try. If you try to take a baby from a mother, try and you'll pay the price, I'll tell you that. They share something with this child that no one else can quite share to the same degree. I noticed that as I got into the Word here this week about these two commonly used texts that might be used on Mother's Day, starting with that Ruth text. I noticed, though, that biology doesn't always make one a mother or a parent. And the case here was Ruth, who was a daughter-in-law to Naomi. Ruth and her sister, I like to say Oprah, but it's Orpah. Ruth and Orpah lost their husbands, just like Naomi did. They were husbandless. And in that culture, if you were husbandless, life was really stacked against you. And she says to them, because she was going to go back to where her ancestry was, and she told them, go back to Moab, where they were from. They were Moabites, and they had married their husbands. And she says, go back, because you got a much better chance of making it there than you do going with me. Naturally, it seemed like that would be the case. And they argued with her, and they wept when it looked like they were going to have to leave her, which Orpah did and went back. But Ruth said, No, I want to stay with you. You have been a mother to me. I'm reading in between some of these lines here, but there's no doubt you look at Ruth, and she said, no, you have been a mother to me. Even though I was of foreign birth, you welcomed me as your own, and I want to go to be with you. And again, Naomi is saying, you really shouldn't, because it isn't going to work out well if you come with me, probably. And then she says those infamous words, and I want to repeat them to you because they're powerful. Here's what Ruth says, and when Naomi finally realized she's not going. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And here again, the witness of a godly mother, your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me. And then Naomi realized, I guess Ruth's coming home with me. What a powerful text, because it's not even her own mother, it's her mother-in-law, but Ruth wants to be there with her. And I just want to say this morning that sometimes we find ourselves, mothers come in shape, different shapes and sizes. There's those who adopt. What a wonderful thing it is to adopt. If I could just lift that up this morning. Because guess what? God adopted me to be his child. And what a wonderful thing it is for a mother to adopt a child that may not be biologically theirs, but they choose to love them. What a wonderful thing that is, I think. Sometimes it happens also through foster parenting and that sort of thing. Because I realize there's sometimes kids grow up in a context where either they don't have their mother, biological mother, or their biological mother is incapable of taking care of them, and all these other kinds of circumstances happen. Thank God for mothers, not just biological mothers. Those that take on some kind of a mothering role with a child is important. It's very important. You know, I look at this investment of a little child, not just the financial investment. Young mothers today realize that there's a financial investment in those children. It costs a little bit. You know, Lisa and I were really realizing something the other day. For a while, Lisa's taken a break from doing daycare. And our food bill went way down. You know, it's like, gee, we don't spend nearly as much. Even with the inflation and all that sort of stuff. I mean, when we go in to get our groceries and come out, it's like, this isn't too bad at all. That alone tells me something. And we just have the kids for, you know, from morning till late afternoon, and then they're gone. But I guess they either eat a lot, or whatever we give them must be expensive, because our food bill went way down. But I look at this little miracle that God gives us, moms and dads, and I look at what mothers do. So I wrote a bunch of these things down about what mothers do, and this list could be expanded by tenfold. You feed them, you clothe them, you bathe them, you teach them, you heal them, you discipline them, you exhort them, you change them, you hug them, you cuddle them, you scold them, you drive them, you pick up after, you cry with, you laugh with, you hurt with, you rejoice with, you let go, you take back, you lift up, you fix up, you let down, you help out, and you defend. Those were a few things that I put down that mothers do. I thought about turning it into a rap song, but I thought I don't think I can do that one very well. So let's just leave it the way it is for now. But those were just a few things that just flowed right out of my mouth, and I wrote them down for what mothers do. Thank you, mothers. Thank you. You indeed are invested in your children. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you might complain, and sometimes you sing, where is he? That is dad. Or where is my mother and father or whatever? And, you know, it's a joy for us oftentimes to take care of our grandkids as our kids have to go off to work. What a joy that is too. But these investments, some of those investments might have temporal results, but there's also investments in our children that can bring eternal results and eternal returns. And that's what the church is there for too, to help moms and dads to raise their kids in the context of a Christian faith. Because when we do that, we know we're investing eternally in our children. You know, I was just reading an article the other day about some of these draft picks in football and how much the parents invest in these kids. You know, from the time they're little, they probably realize they got someone really special here. In fact, one of them was the Lions' first pick, Blake Miller. I saw a picture of him in third grade with his fellow football. They were playing peewee or whatever. He already looked like he was in high school back then. I mean, he was a head taller than everybody else, and I thought, I don't want to be on that, or I want to be on his team. I don't want to be on the opposing team because he'd crush you. But I look at the investments that a lot of these people put in their kids. And some of them, the investments are temporal. Good investments, probably great things might happen with their kids. But I'm thinking, what after all, if everything is said and done, and I'm not saying, I don't know, Blake may be a believer. I have no idea. I'm just use that as an example. But the investment that means more than anything, it's an eternal investment. And that brings me to the text in Timothy, in 2 Timothy. Paul, when he's addressing young Timothy, he's a young man in the faith, he's a young leader in the church, and he exhorts him elsewhere to say, just because you're young doesn't mean, you know, stand up for your faith and stand up in his word and all that sort of thing. But right here in the beginning part of the second letter to Timothy, this letter was probably written not too long before Paul was going to be, his life was going to be taken from him. But he says this about a grandma and a mother. I don't know what was happening with grandpa and dad, but a grandma and a mother, he points this out to Timothy and to the church of their faith. They were invested in their son. They were invested in their grandson. And he says, that faith that first lived in your grandma, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you, Timothy. For this reason, their investment in you, I encourage you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Through the laying on of my hands, encourage you to continue to go forth. You know, they were invested. They were invested in their grandson and son. Romans 12:1 suggests to us, tells us that we ought to be living sacrifices. I believe that's a great explanation to what oftentimes happens with mothers, because they oftentimes don't get the glory at all. They do all that hard work, and their kids grow up and do whatever they do. Oftentimes mothers sacrifice perhaps even their career to take care of their child. They could be doing something else, but no, what was more important to them was to make sure that even if they still have to work, that they're going to make sure their priority is their child. And then make that number one. Romans 12:1 tells us as believers to be living sacrifices. And many do that for the sake of their children. Because it is a huge investment. Really is a huge investment because our food bill went down. But it's a huge investment in so many other ways. In so many other ways, it's a huge investment. But it's worth it. It is worth it. Return sometimes might seem slow. I know parents and grandparents who have prayed for their kids and their grandkids for decades that they would come to know that vital relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes it happens very late in life, but I'll tell you what, folks, don't ever give up on your kids. Never. I have witnessed many occasions. It's been a privilege as a pastor to witness people who have spent their whole life wasting it. And yet, towards the very end, they realized Jesus was the answer. Part of that may have been because of a praying mother, praying father, or a praying grandma, or a praying grandpa, that they would come to know that wonderful gift that was given to them. So I'm telling you, don't you ever give up on your children. I've known several of you that have come to me over the years and talked about estranged children. Don't give up on them. Maybe it's good that there is this separation for a season, but don't ever give up on them. Keep praying that God would get a hold of them and God would transform their life. Because the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Don't forget that. Oftentimes, the mother's that spiritual guru when life gets bad, because the mother knows the child. She's our advocate in prayer before Heavenly Father. And that climax of motherhood is when she sees her child become God's child. I've shared this with you before, but there are times I looked at my mother when I was growing up, and she would give me some kind of advice. I'd look at her, and I'd shake my head. Mom, you don't understand. I shared with you not long ago. I share it because it's Mother's Day. I had some kids in school that were getting on my case. You know how it is in elementary school. Two things that I played a lot of in elementary school in the winter, it was King of the Mountain, because we had the big parking lot snow stuff, and you'd just kind of shove each other off the snow, and you know, until the teacher said you couldn't do it anymore. The other was tetherball, because you had a tetherball thing. And I kept beating these guys who were ahead of me and another grade ahead of me. And I was beating them in tetherball, and I was doing all this sort of stuff. And they were getting mad at me. That we're going to take care of Dave. So they wanted to beat me up. Now, elementary kids can't really beat up elementary kids much. So it wasn't like, you know. But so at one point, they took me by both arms. And one guy slugged me in the gut a couple times. I grew up on the farm. I just kind of tightened up the gut and let them do what they did. And they were done with it. And then I went home and I told Mom, these guys won't leave me alone, you know, and I'm not going to purposely lose to them. I was kind of competitive. And she says, well, next time they do this to you, look at them in the eyes and say, Jesus loves you and so do I. Mom, that doesn't work in the world today, you know. Well, to be quite honest with you, I never had a chance to do it again because they left me alone, and maybe it was my mother's prayer that they actually left me alone after that. But the wisdom of Mom is amazing, and she really did want me to love these guys in spite of the fact that they weren't treating me too hot. But that was just one of many examples I could give you about Mom. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says this, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. Now, I know we're talking about mothers today, but I'm talking about parents today. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are indeed God's children. And we are indeed God's children, just like we are our mothers and our father's children. Doesn't all this that we're talking about here in 2 Timothy and back in Ruth sound like our God to us? He knew us before those 9 months. He chose to give us life. He's a nurturer. He gave himself as a sacrifice, Jesus, God come in human flesh. He's invested in us forever. He doesn't just kick us out at 18 years old and say it's all yours after that. He's our advocate. John 14:16 says the Holy Spirit is indeed our advocate. And there's no one who is more excited than God when we come to faith in him. You know, the angels in heaven are having a party whenever someone comes to Jesus. And I think that's awesome to know that. So moms, thank you for, even though it may be your imperfect way of raising us, because, by the way, we're a church of a bunch of imperfect people, you did the best you could. Sometimes you came out smelling like roses. That's why you have a rose today. Sometimes you may have slipped. God's by your side. And moms and dads, don't ever give up on your children. Keep going. Keep loving. Don't ever give up on them, because God hasn't given up on them. Isn't that a blessing? It is. It is. Let's pray. God, thank you for moms. Thank you especially for godly moms. Thank you for our imperfect moms. But thank you, God, that you gave us life through our moms. And that in itself is a tremendous gift. And because we are here today, I pray, Lord, for every single person, all of us, had a mom. Thank you for life. And I pray, Lord, that because we have life, we would realize that you are the one that can give us eternal life. I pray that everyone here either already knows that or will come to know that through Jesus Christ. Because the gift you gave, the gift he gave willingly on the cross when he took our sins upon himself, died for them, paid the price, and rose again, so that he and we have victory over sin and death, and we are grateful. So thank you for moms. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' precious name, amen.